tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's Freedom Friday with David Noble, alone in studio, folks. Call in, get me your messages, get your messages to the producer, Caden, 406-294-0970. 406-294-0970. By the way, I can now say that without having to look at the big Montana Talks poster that used to be in here. So 406-294-0970, or send us a message on the Montana Talks app. A couple of stories here out of Montana I wanted to get out there in case folks hadn't heard this. I'll throw a couple of Montana stories out here during this first session, and then if you guys want to write in or call in with your thoughts on some of this stuff. The first one is Judge Halt's fish poisoning plan proposed in the Absorkey Beartooth Wilderness. Now, you can call this a fish poisoning plan, but really it was an effort by the National Park Service, by the federal Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, or Fish and Game, and the state version of that. I never can remember what's the federal name for that agency versus the state. Judge Don Manaloy wrote that the plan, which is part of the Yellowstone cutthroat trout introduction effort, diminishes wilderness character on almost every level. And basically what they were going to do is they were going to go into a lot of these streams and rivers in the Absorkey Beartooth Wilderness and try to kill off the non-native species of fish and then introduce the Yellowstone cutthroat trout. And the plan was part of an initiative by Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to establish a secure population of non-hybridized Yellowstone cutthroat trout in response to climate change. And it's like, okay, that's not why the Yellowstone cutthroat trout aren't in some of these streams. It's not climate change, folks. The agency actually collaborated with the U.S. Forest Service and the National Park Service to eliminate the population of rainbow trout, which had been introduced to Hidden Lake the better part of a century ago. So basically what the federal judge said here is, okay, even though the state and the national government are trying to, you know, basically put parts of these streams and rivers back to closer to what they were originally by killing off the rainbow trout and putting in place Yellowstone cutthroat trout, because it was going to involve, you know, people, you know, flying helicopters in, setting up some temporary camps along some of these streams, things like that, they shut it down because they said, you know, that was going to be too much activity. Of course, Wilderness Watch, one of these, you know, watermelon groups, as Tim and I were talking about these watermelon groups, because they're green on the outside, but they're communist red on the inside. Wilderness Watch, I'm assuming, is one of these. I don't know anything about Wilderness Watch, but, you know, they're Missoula. It's a Missoula-based group, and they're trying to say that this plan to reintroduce Yellowstone cutthroat trout in some of these rivers would leave a heavy human imprint in a remote wilderness area. You know, it really, really makes you wonder what their true motives are. Well, I guess I didn't get a chance to get to some of these other Montana stories, but we'll throw that one out there first. Any thoughts on that? Write or call in. And I got more right after this. David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness and some scattered showers developing around the area, even mixed with a little snow in some spots towards Bozeman. High temperature readings today, otherwise staying around 47 in Bozeman to the mid-upper 50s in Billings. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, lows of 23 in Bozeman, mid-30s in Billings. And then on Saturday, there's a chance for snow showers for the first half of the day in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Thursday, the Senate debated a measure which would limit the president's military actions against suspected narco-terrorist vessels in the Caribbean and Eastern Pacific. Measure co-sponsor, Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine.
Congress should have the power and indeed the responsibility to have a debate and have a vote on it before we order our troops to risk their lives.
But Republican South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham countered, saying that while only Congress can declare war, it's only done so five times in U.S. history, and military strikes were ordered by the commander-in-chief, not Congress.
Because if that's the case, then you don't have a single commander-in-chief. You have 535 commander-in-chiefs.
Senator Graham added,
there's never been in the history of the country a termination of military activity based on the idea Congress did not approve it.
The proposed measure failed. Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on the show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls, the chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Turning point. No matter where you sit on the big issues of the day, our nation is at a turning point. But maybe you are looking for a personal turning point in your life as well. You want to eat less. You want to drink less. Whatever it may be. Let me tell you about Billings Last Diet. This isn't just a program that makes you look better for a vacation during spring break. This isn't just a program that gets you skinny for that wedding photo or the 20-year reunion. This program is life-changing. This program will lead to a turning point in your personal life. Not only will you lose the weight, but it's about being around for your kids and your grandkids. It's about being healthy. I'll tell you what, Billings Last Diet, we've got listeners who've lost over 100 pounds. I lost over 33 pounds in 3 months, and people have lost weight even faster. BillingsLastDiet.com or call them right now, 406-294-6751.
Got a message here from Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, thanks for the message. Nancy says, the new mayor of NYC, Mamdani, didn't even get the majority vote, so his plans aren't going to be able to get through. SNAP won't be needed because he's giving free groceries for everyone. Hope everyone has a good weekend. Well, thank you, Nancy. Really wish we could hear your voice and get you on the show. Hopefully we will next time. You know, I heard that a couple of different places, Nancy, about Mamdani not getting over 50%. And then I'm not sure if they've been counting provisional ballots or if a truck showed up. But I pulled up the first result on here with CNN. CNN's got Mamdani at 50.4%, 180,000 votes ahead of Cuomo. Cuomo had about 850,000. Mamdani got about 1 million. Allegedly, this is 50.4%. But I don't know if that's a sort of late-breaking news, if that's sort of provisional ballots or what, because I have heard the same thing, Nancy, about him not getting a majority. It must have been the provisionals or something else that put him over that 50% mark. And then, yeah, SNAP won't be needed because he's given free groceries to everyone. Government grocery stores. I mean, who could have come up with a more ridiculous idea than government grocery stores? I mean, has anybody ever gone to the DMV and seen what that's like? Have you ever had to deal with the TSA agents? I mean, the federal government is the last place you want to go to get groceries. There's so much to be said about the whole SNAP thing in terms of these Democrats trying to pressure Trump to use contingency funds, and then Trump is going to use contingency funds, and then he's not, and then all of the stuff going on at the state level with There's something out of Butte here, too. Here's another. So I wanted to throw out these Montana stories. So there's the one story about the Yellowstone cutthroat trout and the rainbow trout in the Absarokee Beartooth Wilderness. Another one here out of Montana has to do with Butte. Must be on my phone. I didn't print this one out. But this, I think Butte is doing something along the lines of having basically the local government, local taxpayers, fun snap in Butte or something. I'll find that one on my phone. It'd take me a second here to find it. I'll find that one and talk about it next break. A couple of other Montana stories I wanted to throw out there, see if we get anybody's reaction. Here's one. Montana Supreme Court upheld Montana's vaccine discrimination law. This is a story by Daryl Ehrlich, hardcore Democrat activist, leftist. Daryl Ehrlich with the leftist blog, Daily Montana. He says, in a decision that's technical and gives both sides a victory, the Montana Supreme Court ordered part of an anti-vaccine law restored while opening the door for other legal challenges to the state's policy of not discriminating against citizens due to their vaccination status. If folks recall, the Montana Supreme Court unanimously ruled on this lawsuit at the preliminary injunction stage during the height of the COVID-19 vaccine controversy. If folks don't remember, it's actually this law firm in Montana. I think it's called Netzer Law Firm. They've got a bunch of Democrat / Rhino lawyers there. I think James Rivas is one of the Democrat lawyers there. I think Joel Crowder is one of the Rhinos there. That law firm itself filed on its own behalf to sue the people of Montana to try to get it so they could discriminate against people based on their vaccination status. I mean, how disturbing is that? I always find this so disturbing when it's actually lawyers and law firms that are fighting for discrimination or fighting against the Constitution, because I'm sort of under the assumption, and folks can feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's a lot of citizens out there that kind of are looking to, or should expect, I mean, it's certainly reasonably to expect that lawyers would be fighting for the Constitution and that judges would be fighting for the Constitution. But when you see stuff like this, where there's actually a law firm filing a lawsuit against the state and against the people of Montana to try to invalidate an anti-discrimination law so that they can discriminate. And to be clear, that's what they want to do. All these Democrats and rhinos want to discriminate against people based on their vaccination status. Netzer Law Firm challenged the measure, saying it violated their constitutional rights. So it's like, wait, so you're trying to say you have a constitutional right to discriminate against people based on their whether they've got a vaccine or not? That doesn't make any sense. What they really were arguing was that this jeopardizes the health of our employees. And it jeopardizes the safety of our employees because they wanted to mandate the COVID vax. And it's like, how ridiculous, especially now where we're at in November 2025 and what we know about the COVID-19 vax, to have these people still arguing that you should be able to discriminate and not let unvaccinated people. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Police recently arrested Christopher Moynihan after he threatened to, quote, eliminate House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries when he spoke to the Economic Club of New York last month. Moynihan posted that, quote, even if I am hated, he must be eliminated. I will kill him for the future, the filing said. Moynihan faces a felony charge of making a terroristic threat. President Trump pardoned Moynihan after he barged into the Capitol during the riot on January 6, 2021. During the riot, Moynihan made it to the Senate floor and rifled through a notebook on a senator's desk. He pleaded guilty to 5 misdemeanor charges and was sentenced in February 2023 to nearly 3 years in prison. The threat against Jeffries is part of a fast-growing wave of threats against lawmakers. The number of threat investigations in 2025 already eclipsed 14,000, and that's more than the number of total cases in 2024. Jeffries had a warning to those who may attempt to intimidate him or harm him. Jeffries said, quote, when it comes to these extremists out there, you better watch how you talk when you talk about me. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nemitz. Well, the Fertilizer Institute and others in agriculture are celebrating the inclusion of phosphate and potash on the just-released final list of critical minerals. Originally compiled in 2018 and then revised every 3 years, the list, they say, is published by the U.S. Geological Survey and includes mineral commodities critical to the U.S. economy and national security. TFI President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch says that recognizing phosphate and potash as critical minerals will support U.S. farmers across the entire country and help to ensure high crop yields and stocked grocery store shelves for consumers. In some other news here on this Friday morning, hey, it looks like the American Land Board's new fiscal year is underway, and ALB is thrilled to continue their longstanding partnership with HomeAid, the largest online cooking school. ALB's ongoing collaboration with HomeAid includes live cooking classes, easy, delicious recipes featuring American lamb, and a vibrant online community for participants. Throughout 2026, HomeAid will continue to feature American lamb as a fantastic protein for all types of occasions, with elegant dinner party entrees to casual backyard grilling favorites. Now, these classes, they say, are meant to inspire home cooks and increase demand for delicious American lamb. Join the Fan of Lamb Club today and see how your lamb checkout funds are helping people cook American lamb dishes at home. You can learn more by visiting lambcheckoff.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. For over 50 years, Green Mountain Angus Ranch and Rooney Angus have been committed to providing superior seed stock for the commercial rancher. Monday, November 10th, 220 bulls, including lots of heifer bulls and over 200 bred commercial heifer sell at Pays in Billings, Montana. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also broadcast on Frontier Livestock. It's an incredible time to be in the cow business, and Green Mountain Angus Ranch and Rooney Angus genetics are the real deal. Volume discounts, free delivery, plus that GMAR guarantee. For more information, visit greenmountainangus.com.
Celebrate Ag is back at Montana State University in Bozeman, November 2nd through the 8th. Join us as we honor Montana's proud agricultural roots and the people shaping its future. From producers and students to industry leaders, don't miss the Celebrate Ag Friday night social or the tailgate before Saturday's Bobcat game. A chance to connect, share stories, and cheer on the Bobcats. Learn more at agriculture.montana.edu/celebrateag.
Well, agricultural co-ops claim the top two spots in the National Cooperative Bank's annual ranking of our nation's top 100 cooperatives by revenue across multiple sectors. Co-ops in the ag sector accounted for the largest share of revenue, with CHS reporting $39.3 billion and Dairy Farmers of America earning $23 billion. Non-egg co-ops on the list include Ace Hardware Corporation, Basin Electric Power Cooperative, Navy Federal Credit Union, and Recreational Equipment, Inc. And finally this morning, according to AgriPulse, a federal judge in Rhode Island on Thursday ordered the USDA to pay full SNAP benefits for November by today. We'll see what the Trump administration does in the meantime, but the lapse in benefits to 42 million Americans this past weekend was the very first time in the program's history that it has run out of funds. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble here. That's Noble with a K. I'm a lawyer here in Billings. You can find me online at LCTRFAN. Got a message here at a roundup. The population of NYC is 8.5 million. If Mamdani got approximately 1 million votes, that is less than half of one quarter of the population. True. Yes. Well said. Absolutely. Okay. Here's the Butte Silver Bow story that I was mentioning here just before the break. The city county of Butte Silver Bow declared a local emergency because of the loss of food stamps. The Butte Chief Executive J.P. Gallagher signed the proclamation, and they're going to be using up almost $200,000. And apparently this local emergency declaration allows the city of Butte Silver, city county of Butte Silver Bow, to impose additional property taxes. So because the Democrats shut down the federal government, because Chuck Schumer is worried about a primary from the left, a.k.a. AOC, because of that, because of this game that these Democrats are playing in D.C. where these senators like Chuck Schumer really want to show the Marxist communist left that they're fighting Trump, because of that, now your property taxes in Butte are going to go up. So the property taxpayers in Butte can look forward to that. The Butte Chief Executive Gallagher says Butte has gone through tough times and people step up. Yeah, people step up. Organizations step up. Charities step up. Churches step up. Christians step up. We don't need the government to increase property taxes on this, you jerk, is what I would say if I was in Butte. If the state and federal government aren't going to step in, we're going to do what we can with the resources we have. So this goes on to basically say, it mentions in here, Governor Gianforte actually donated his own money to a statewide nonprofit with a mission to end hunger. And so and you're seeing that a lot around here. And people are acting as if, first of all, let me just ask folks out there, because I know a fair number of business owners in this state. And I hear from lots of business owners in this state that their employees, if they're sort of entry level employees or lower wage employees, and they're working a certain number of hours, a lot of times those employees will say, "Hey, no, I don't want to work more hours, because if I work more hours, I'll lose my food stamps." I've heard that from lots of business owners. I'd be curious to hear if any listeners out there have ever experienced that, where you've got employees that are simply refusing to work more hours or to take on second jobs or things like that, because if they do, they'll lose their benefits. Doubt there's only one or two or three businesses in the state that have experienced that with their employees. Menace from Menace writes in. Thank you, Menace from Menace. He says, "Good morning, sir. We have a tractor trailer on its side in Norris Canyon at Blacks Ford Highway. It's closed for 2 hours. Good to know, Menace from Menace. We got the word out. Thank you so much. More live from high above downtown Billings, Montana, right after this. Here's another Montana story I wanted to throw out. Montana celebrates successful election with strong voter turnout, and this is mostly just to push back on what the Democrats and the mainstream media were saying about this new election integrity law here in Montana that requires absentee ballot voters to place their birth year on their ballot. With more than 180,000 Montanans voting for local leaders and issues here on last Tuesday, Secretary of State Christy Jacobson touted the election as successful. Christy Jacobson said in a press release, "Thank you to all our Montana voters who ensured their voices were heard in these elections. The Montana election team is honored to serve you. Congratulations to the successful candidates across the state, and thank you to all for stepping up to serve our Treasure State community." This election saw roughly 50% voter turnout, reflecting strong interest in municipal... Really? Media? I mean, 50%? That's strong voter turnout? I mean, that seems a little bit... it's ridiculous to call that strong voter turnout. The election administrator noted the benefits of these new changes requiring the birth year. By the way, this is totally false. This is nonstop local. They put on here that that you were required to put the date of your birth on the affirmation envelope. No, you're not. You're not required to put your actual birthday, just the year. So they've got this thing's totally wrong, but they quote an election administrator saying, "I want to share how helpful the addition of the birth year to the affirmation envelopes has been. It has significantly improved our ability to verify signatures. This helps us when we are checking voter status. We have households that have three people with the same name. When we are checking ballots to ensure no one is voting more than once, having the birth year will be very helpful." So huge shout out to Secretary of State Christy Jacobson. By the way, not only has the Secretary of State Christy Jacobson done a fantastic job at the Secretary of State level administering these elections and implementing these voter integrity laws, but she's a leader in the legislative process and out there supporting voter ID, other sorts of election integrity measures like this. And of course, you know, the Democrats really tried to criticize Christy Jacobson and somehow try to say it's improper for the Secretary of State, Christy Jacobson, to be working with the legislature to adopt new voter security laws, which, of course, is absurd. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's what we want our Secretary of State doing. I want our Secretary of State working with the legislature to implement and pass new voter security laws. Here's another story out of Butte. There's a lesbian couple in Butte with like three or four kids. And there's this huge story about how they have four children. So there's a lesbian couple with four children, allegedly, quote unquote, children in Butte. And they're all worried. I don't know why are all the food stamp stories out of Butte?
Free dollar matter.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, got some messages here. Justin in Billings says, "I did have coworkers who mentioned that they couldn't work extra hours because they'd lose their food stamps. The people at Social Services would instruct them to do this." Thank you, Justin in Billings. Thank you so much, Justin. That I've heard that so many times. times, and the fact that people at social services are telling people, hey, don't work, you know, don't work more than this many hours if your hourly wage is this, or don't get a second job, you're going to lose your food stamps if you do, blah, blah. That's terrible. Now, look, folks, most people, I would say, even very, very conservative people like me, we actually do think it's appropriate for the, you know, the state or the county or the city to provide food to the very, very needy. But you cannot tell me that the very, very needy is somebody with a job who is purposefully working less hours so that they can stay on their benefits. That is not what I would consider a truly needy person. So thank you, Justin and Billings, for confirming that. I knew I wasn't the only one that had heard that and seen that around the state. Cameron in Billings writes in and says, maybe the rent and expense of living are too high. Absolutely, because the Democrat left-wing policies. Yup. Inflation, lack of opportunities to build housing. Yup. Democrat left-wing policies have absolutely driven up rent and expenses. Cameron goes on, I know people who are paying $1,000 plus on a single bedroom apartment with the ever increasing price of living. I can sympathize with those who don't want to lose their benefits from SNAP. Well, I sympathize with people that are struggling under Democrat policies as well, Cameron. I very much sympathize with people out there that are struggling to get by because they're experiencing the Biden inflation, the Democrat caused inflation, the socialist Democrat left caused inflation on not just rent, but all expenses. And then, you know, housing costs in particular are high because of Democrat left-wing policies, whether it's the building codes that cities put in place, whether it's the zoning, whether it's the lack of ability to build on certain land, whether it's land use. I mean, the Democrats have made it impossible to build housing, which is why it's so high. And everything else is high because of the left-wing policies of massive blowout spending at the federal level, printing dollars constantly. That causes inflation. So absolutely agree, Cameron. I very much sympathize with these folks out here in Montana who are struggling to get by because of what the Democrat policies have done to them. Ron in Belgrade writes in. Ron says, as far as cutthroat, I always went to Shields River for fly fishing. For 6 weeks this year, they closed the access. I've fished there for 60 years. I've always had whitefish, trout, cutthroat, etc. They killed the brown trout a few years ago, but then I went with my son, and we caught a brown trout. The cutthroat are doing just fine. Thank you for that, Ron. Good to know. Sounds like you know quite a bit more about that than I do, which is fantastic. So appreciate that. So here's the story out of Butte, okay? This is from Megan Thompson Online, one of the mainstream media outlets here in Montana. As the government shutdown heads into its second month, millions of Americans are facing the loss of food stamps. A Butte family is one of almost 100,000 Montana families. It goes on to say, Angela and Jeanette. Okay, it's a lesbian couple, and they've got a picture. They're both morbidly obese. So you've got a morbidly obese lesbian couple in Butte. And folks, this is just the facts. Okay, I'm just not this is not my opinion or anything like that. This is two morbidly obese lesbians in Butte with four kids. Okay. Angela and Jeanette have a combined yearly income of around $55,000, and they have four children. Obviously not their biological children, because two morbidly obese lesbians cannot have biological children together. So they've got this morbidly obese lesbian couple in Butte has four kids. They're making a combined $55,000. Which means if they're working 40 hours a week, they've each got jobs making $12 an hour. I don't know, how do you even do that? $13 an hour, maybe. You know, the easy way to figure out a annual salary based off of your yearly income is just double the hourly wage and add three zeros. So if you're making $12 an hour, you're working 40 hours a week, that's $24,000 a year. If you're making $13 an hour, 40 hours a week, that's $26,000 a year. So these two morbidly obese lesbians with four kids in Butte are apparently both working 40 hours a week for like $13, $14 an hour. There's a lot of jobs out there here in Montana that start at much higher than that, including basic daycare jobs, you know, basic retail jobs are you're starting at 50. You can start at McDonald's making $17 an hour. So anyway, setting that aside, it's just like, why would the mainstream media choose these people to put this story out about? And so, yeah, apparently last February, before the government shut down, before Schumer shut the government down and ended the food stamp program temporarily, they became unable to afford rent and had to move into a homeless shelter. Okay, so it's like, okay, there's a lot. These people are struggling not just because of the Democrat Schumer shutdown. I'm sorry, but anyway, that's another Butte story. I don't know why there's so many Butte stories out here about the food stamp program, but that is what it is. Bonnie in Bozeman writes in, I heard on the news that USDA opened up to farmers. The ag secretary has $6 billion in reserves that he said could be used. It's a she. The ag secretary is a she. Gianforte is donating his money to a nonprofit to help with SNAP losses, farmers market, double food SNAP value if you buy it there. Hey, that's a good point, Bonnie. Go to the farmers market. Although a lot of times farmers markets can be a little bit more expensive than the grocery store in my experience. But definitely agree with going to the and it's like. Folks, you can buy rice and enough rice and enough beans to feed a person for an entire month for like $30, $40. I mean, and I'm not the one that came up with this. I saw somebody post this, and it's like, it's true. You can get rice and beans to feed a person for a month for like $30 or $40. It really is quite amazing. And so this idea that, you know, people are going to, you know, die of starvation because they missed a month's worth of food stamps is ridiculous, especially when some of these folks have enough reserves on them to survive quite some time. Here we go. There was a new poll from MSU Billings. Now, I've heard a lot of folks that know a thing or two about polling. That have said that this MSU Billings poll is really not that accurate. And I don't think it is, because I've actually paid attention to this MSU Billings poll a number of years, and it never matches up with the actual election results. But that being said, President Trump still maintains a approval rating, a positive approval rating here in Montana. And this goes on to say that there is political violence concerns rising. Here's what the media says about this. Who is this? This is by a staff writer at one of the outlets here. The way that this printed, I'm not sure who wrote this, but it's just classic mainstream media. It says, in a surprising finding that challenges conventional political wisdom, younger Montanans showed the strongest support for Trump. 18 to 29-year-olds, 62% voted for Trump. 70 older, only 45% voted for Trump. Kamala Harris in Montana found her strongest support among Montana's oldest voters. And again, folks, this is something I've been talking about a lot, okay? A lot, because it's not conventional political wisdom anymore. Now they're trying to say, oh, conventional political wisdom is that the older voters are going to vote Republican and the younger voters are going to vote Democrat. Well, you may see that in the New York City mayoral race, you know, for example, but at the national presidential level, I don't think it's been that way for some time. Certainly it was so obvious in 2024, and 2024 so much changed things that I don't think it's conventional political wisdom anymore. But I'd be curious to hear, does anybody have any other explanation for this? Because I have one explanation for this. The fact that the youngest Montanans supported Trump at the highest level and the oldest Montanans literally supported Kamala, majority of them, or not a majority, but a higher 45%, which is 45% voted for Trump. So that would be a majority voting for Kamala Harris if you're 70 or older in Montana. I think it's because of the media consumption. Because the only people that I know in my life, and frankly that we hear on the radio, that actually still pay attention to the mainstream media, and frankly, the listeners to this show, I don't count you guys. If you're out there, you're 65 and older, you're 70 or older, I'm not even talking about you. Because you're listening to this show. You're not watching, you know, CBS Monday morning show or whatever they call their little morning shows and things like that. You're listening to this show.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The Democratic Party has become radicalized. It has become extreme. Really, sex change operations, taxpayer funded for illegal immigrants, and a pathway to citizenship, amnesty, and no consequences for not abiding by our laws, border sovereignty. It's insane. The Democratic Party is now the party of coastal elites. They represent Hollywood, San Francisco, D.C., New York, and Chicago. The Republican Party has become the party of hardworking men and women that believe in liberty and freedom and are tired of everything being shoved down our throat, from what we drink to what we drive to the refrigerators we use.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
We are seeing something really disturbing. Anti-Semitism on the rise. College campuses, halls of Congress, punditry world, around the world. Sadly, right here in America, you know, Jewish schools are being targeted, synagogues threatened. It was a tourist in Midtown Manhattan beaten and attacked in broad daylight. Why? Because he was Jewish. Okay, never again is right now. And I don't know what part of hundreds of thousands of missiles fired into Israel. Israelis murdered on October 7th, murder, kidnapping, torture, rape, beheading that some people don't understand. What would you want Americans to do? What would you expect your government to do if we were attacked this way? The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're on the front lines. They're providing all the humanitarian assistance to Jewish families under threat, and they're helping people rebuild their lives. Your gift, whatever you can give, and your support is life-saving work. Please donate generously, 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, or ifcj.org.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness and some scattered showers developing around the area, even mixed with a little snow in some spots towards Bozeman. High temperature readings today, otherwise staying around 47 in Bozeman to the mid-upper 50s in Billings. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, lows of 23 in Bozeman, mid-30s in Billings. And then on Saturday, there's a chance for snow showers for the first half of the day in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls. The chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, you know, the last time we caught up with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus Ranch in Dillon, what a great conversation we had. You know, we not only talked about his great products, you know, his great steaks, the great beef jerky, the beef bacon, and more that Reminisce Angus Ranch provides. You can get them at certain grocery stores. You can find their jerky at some gas stations, like some of the town pump locations. You can also get it delivered to your house. But we also talked with Brian Massard about his efforts to help make America healthy again. He was just at the White House. He's taken part in other roundtable discussions back in Washington, D.C., because he knows that if we want to make America healthy again, beef has got to be on the table. So anyways, great catching up with him. If you want to learn more about, you know, the creative things he's doing out at Reminisce Angus Ranch, partnering with N-Soil Algae, for example, or if you want to find out how you can get his products to your place, check out remangus.com. remangus.com.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laslocky.
For most of us, the COVID pandemic is just a dark and distant memory. Some of us lost friends or loved ones. Some have friends who were injured by the vaccine. Some just remember the terrible isolation as the result of lockdowns. Others, however, are still living with the pain of being fired for refusing to get vaccinated. This week, those people received a degree of vindication when the Montana Supreme Court refused to strike down portions of House Bill 702, the Montana Vaccine Discrimination Act. The act was the first of its kind in the nation, banning discrimination against people based on their vaccine status. Although the impetus was the controversy surrounding the COVID vaccine, the act itself actually applies to all vaccines. And although the act itself contains several provisions, in essence, it says no one may be denied employment or access to public accommodations for refusing to be vaccinated. It does allow employers or public accommodations to require the wearing of masks. Given the strong differences in public opinion regarding the COVID vaccine, the law was controversial from the start. The first iteration failed early in the legislative session, but the second attempt passed the legislature and was signed into law by Governor Gianforte on May 7, 2021. Not surprisingly, it was immediately challenged in both state and federal district courts. At the state level, plaintiffs argued that it violated five articles in the Montana Constitution: the Inalienable Rights Clause, the right to a clean and healthful environment, the right to equal protection, the enumeration of rights, and the clear expression of a bill's subject. In 2022, a Montana district court denied plaintiffs' motion for a preliminary injunction. Plaintiffs' appeal to the Montana Supreme Court was also rejected, but the Supreme Court did order a full constitutional review. In 2023, a district court dismissed all of the plaintiffs' case except for the clear expression of the bill's subject clause. That left only two parts of the bill still in question. One was the subsection banning discrimination against the unvaccinated, and the other was subsection 4, which prevented employers or other entities from requiring COVID-19 vaccines during emergency authorizations. In 2024, the district court determined that the first subsection was constitutional, but that the fourth was not. Both plaintiffs and the state then appealed to the Montana Supreme Court, which led to this week's final ruling in this case. In a unanimous decision, the court upheld the constitutionality of subsection 4 as well, leaving intact the entire bill. House Bill 702 was also challenged at the federal level by a different set of plaintiffs in 2022. In that action, the district court enjoined part of the law with respect to health care providers, saying they could discriminate based on vaccine status. That ruling was then overturned in 2024 by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, clearing the way for health care employees to refuse vaccinations as well. After 4 years of litigation by two separate plaintiffs in four separate courts, the bottom line is that Montana's first-of-its-kind vaccine discrimination law was upheld in its entirety, closing yet another chapter from the dark and distant days of the COVID pandemic. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslaffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
From the mattress firms
out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
KDUL.